Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Paul von Hartmann is an experienced writer with a demonstrated history of working in the environmental services industry, skilled in photography, commercial diving, activism, piloting, and illustration. Paul is a strong arts and design professional with a Bachelor of Arts focused on special major, art, wildlife behavior, and journalism with a minor in aviation from Humboldt State University. He's also a cornucopia of information about industrial hemp and the author of Cannabis Versus Climate Change, The Cannabis Interface. I'm pleased to have Paul with me today. Welcome to Cannabis Radio, my friend.
Thank you, Viv. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Always good to talk to you. You're very knowledgeable in cannabis in general and in specifically in industrial hemp. Share with us a little bit about your history. How were you just initially introduced to cannabis?
Well, my background at Humboldt included a lot of life sciences and ecology and population dynamics and such things as that. And so when I learned about all the things that hemp could do, I recognized it. The true motivation for prohibition was the control of the industrial production that was in competition with all of the chemical processes and other unsustainable processes that we were all born into, thinking that was normal. And so having some perspective on the environment afforded by years of immersion in wilderness and in the ocean and in the skies, I became really passionate about protecting that thing that you know, I'd been so graced with all my life in being a part of. And, I just immersed myself in scholarship, first of all, growing the plant and studying it at the same time. If you don't grow it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
But I am a photographer and a journalist. And so I just applied my broad palette of skills to ending prohibition, because I saw that it was the fundamental challenge of our time to do that. And it seemed like the most challenging windmill to attack.
For years, I heard that climate change is 50 years away. We're going to see, tangible effects and stuff. I heard that as recent as, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And then now what we've seen is, a kind of a rapid acceleration in real time. We're in this period called the Anthropocene, defined as the time of human dominance over Earth's ecosystems. with rather devastating results. A fairly recent report by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change proclaims that climate change is happening more rapidly and more severely than scientists originally thought, which, you know, we are seeing. Not surprisingly, it's the most vulnerable people on the planet already being harmed the most. In your opinion, how is cannabis hemp uniquely qualified to help us transition from this petrochemical fossil fuel, model to help reverse this existential threat of climate change? What can hemp offer humanity?
Well, hemp is the only crop that produces both complete essential nutrition and abundant clean energy from the same organic harvest in more countries around the world in less time with more environmental benefit than any other agricultural resource on the planet. that just sums up the rationale for focusing on cannabis as mankind's functional interface with the natural order and recognizing that cannabis solves more global problems in less time than any other strategy for healing Earth's atmosphere, soil, water, air, and wildlife.
And it does that in more than one way, right? It does that with the process of growing hemp, the process of it growing, the cultivation, but also in its ability to replace, reduce, or enhance other crops, other materials, right? Explain a few of the ways that this
Place. The most important thing to understand is that 70 years ago, the boreal forests and the marine phytoplankton produced twice the volume of atmospheric aerosol terpenes as they do today. And there's no other crop that can replenish Earth's atmosphere with the terpenes that have been lost with the deaths of half the boreal forests and half the marine phytoplankton in the last 70 years. Cannabis is it. And fortunately, we can also produce complete essential nutrition and abundant clean energy from the same crop that heals Earth's atmosphere with terpenes and oxygen and sequesters the carbon. And we can lock the carbon up in durable products that we make from hemp. So, you know, it is really just the answer to everybody's prayers if we look at it objectively and understand that we're limited in time. Time is running out at an accelerating rate. And that's why the scientists are behind in their estimations. If people go on Vimeo and watch my film, Cannabis Versus Climate Change, they can see me 30 plus years ago telling people, we don't have as much time as we're being told because the scientists aren't considering the time lags that are associated with these feedback loops. And so, you know, their awareness of where we are in the trajectory that was created before any of us were born is far behind. And we're getting further behind in our estimations, even though, they're trying to factor in things that are really hard to measure and are variable. So it's hard to pin down, the increasing UVB radiation is acknowledged to be increasing, but it's variable. And the increases are happening at the northern and southern latitudes more than they are at the middle latitudes. So people aren't generally as aware of it as they might be if the increased UVB radiation was concentrated at the middle latitudes of the planet. But the boreal forests and the marine phytoplankton congregate at the northern and southern latitudes, the boreal forests at the northern latitudes and the marine phytoplankton at the southern and northern latitudes. So the impact of the increasing UV on the boreal forests and the marine phytoplankton that produce these terpenes that protect the planet from the sun creates a feedback loop that accelerates the increase. And that's why cannabis is so important for us to replenish Earth's atmosphere with terpenes so that we don't get broiled by UVB radiation anymore than we already are.
Right.
And, you know, it's UVB is more than doubled in the last 70 years. So it's a fundamental shift on a scale that's hard to wrap your head around. But okay. I've tried to present the solutions along with the problems to keep people moving in a positive direction. But,
right.
You know,
we have to move in a positive direction and take a quick break, but then we're going to come right back and pick up this really critical existential discussion we're having. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with activist and author Paul Von Hartmann. Paul, what we're seeing in California right now, right, is this devastating rain and flooding. In a way, climate change, it's like a vicious cycle, because what we need is we need trees, and we need to be growing the right crops and stuff to sequester the carbon. And yet what we're seeing in California is farmlands devastated, soils, you know, wiped away, and all over the planet we're seeing a tree die off. It's kind of like a vicious cycle that is exponential. Am I inaccurate there?
No, that's exactly what's happening. The various feedback loops that I was referring to, you know, overlap. All systems are connected. And so once you start throwing one system out of balance, you know, it affects other systems that are related to it and integrated with it. And, you know, we've been toying with these integrated systems in ways that, you know, we can't predict the effects of. When you think about the role of atmospheric aerosol terpenes as cloud condensation nuclei, which they go up into the stratosphere, they rise up into the stratosphere and nucleate bright and persistent clouds that then rain and snow upon the Earth. Also shielding the Earth from the sun with the clouds. But, you know, we have half the terpenes in the atmosphere than we had 70 years ago. And so the concentration of terpenes has shifted away from what it was. And we can't really predict all the different, you know, effects of that. But I suspect that, you know, with fewer terpenes up north in the northern latitudes, you know, a lot of the moisture is probably going to wind up falling in the middle latitudes. And that's what we're seeing, is these, you know, atmospheric rivers, you know, pummeling California. And we just don't have the strategy, the agricultural strategies in place to limit the onslaught.
And so of course, you know, it's ironic, because most cannabis enthusiasts think of terpenes as something that gives you terroir or a flavor or smell in the cannabis and maybe affect your high, but we're talking about saving the planet with terpenes. the irony here is that hemp grows in almost any soil, and In your writings, you've suggested that hemp heals Earth's atmosphere, soil, water, air, and wildlife because it can be used to phytoremediate demineralized, contaminated, irradiated, and compacted and eroded soils. Can you explain that process that you describe? How does hemp phytoremediate compromised soils? And what does phytoremediate even mean?
Phytoremediation means plant healing, and essentially reconditioning the ecosystem of the soil that exists in balance with the microbiota, the critters that live in the soil, the nutrients minerals in the soil, the root structures that help to give soil its character, the humus that provides nutrition for the microbiota, and the whole ecosystem is one that evolved under conditions of UV radiation that were half of what they are now. The UV has more than doubled, not only in the intensity of the UV, but also the frequency of occurrence, the number of days per year that extreme UV is cauterizing the planet and the soil. And what cannabis does is it produces this incredible root system that penetrates the soil as deeply below the soil as it grows above the soil. And in some cases that can be 20 feet tall, So it's just a miracle of a root system. And what it does is not only does it transport moisture up to the plant, but it also maintains soil moisture beneath the surface, because that moisture is held in suspension rather than just evaporating out into the air. And the microbiome benefits from that soil moisture, and the other plants that are planted in rotation with cannabis benefit from that soil moisture, and the character of the atmosphere over that land benefits from it too.
So Paul, we know we've established that cannabis is a key resource in combating climate change. It seems like a no-brainer, of course, but what are the primary obstacles preventing humankind from exploiting what should potentially be an abundant, essential, natural resource of cannabis, hemp?
Inertia. It's just inertia. We were born into an economic system that has suppressed cannabis and created mythologies around cannabis that continue to operate to this day and limit the production of a crop that is both unique and essential. And the illogic of the political reality that we were born into is maintained by the status quo and mm-hmm. the people who have the money and the political influence want to keep it. And so we need to overcome
and that. the corporate dominance, right, on the
sure.
on this pre-existing model, this market system that we have. Certainly the petrochemical companies have us by the short curlies.
Sure.
And they bought our politicians, now our governments, for sale to the highest bidder. I look around sometimes, the generations that are going to be living in arguably a dystopian hellscape are distracted. They're busy. They're not going to probably be listening to this podcast. They're going to be on Instagram and TikTok and stuff, and comparing hair color and, people's dancing moves and stuff. Sometimes I look around and I think, my God, I think we're fucked. Do we have time to turn this around, or are we pissing in the wind here, jousting at windmills?
Thing is, spring will be here in a minute, and this planting season is another opportunity for us to thread the needle, but we're definitely on course for either cascading systems failures or a nonlinear extinction level event. And the longer we wait, the more likely it is that we're going to see, what the IPCC has warned us about, the nonlinear extinction level events or the cascading systems failures, what I refer to as irreversible systemic collapse.
Environmental disintegration, right?
Well, it's environmental, economic,
social,
and social.
Food scarcity.
Those are the three legs of the stool that we're standing on.
We're looking at severe food scarcity, lack of drinkable water, which is going to cause, of course, mass migration from you know, the equatorial areas of the world. We're looking at a complete breakdown of the social order if this isn't addressed. You agree?
Well, we are already in the initial stages of it, since, you know, it's 1% versus 99%, which is an imbalance that can't continue. But, you know, the military industrial complex that is in service to the status quo, to maintain the control of unevenly distributed finite toxic resources, you know, is another potential ally in turning the paradigm around, because the best way to eliminate war is to defund the warmongers. And the minute people understand that there is an alternative to fossil fuels, then the value of those resources will begin to go down. And because cannabis is uniquely qualified to eliminate our dependence on fossil fuels, because it's the only crop that produces complete essential nutrition and abundant clean energy from the same harvest, then, you know, we can begin to work in that direction and say, okay, look, if you're not growing cannabis for seed and stock, then you are food and energy insecure, because whatever you depend upon for those things now may not be available very soon for a variety of reasons.
Right, right. Well, we're going to thread the needle to another break and then come back with our final conversation with Paul von Hartmann. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We are back on Hemp Present with Paul Hartmann. Paul, you know, we have more industrial cultivation of cannabis in America than we've ever had, because we have this new retail, arguable legalization model in multiple states. So there's a lot of indoor cannabis cultivation happening. And is it true that it's not only a carbon footprint disaster to be growing cannabis indoors under lights, but also that cannabis is not being fully utilized in its ability to regenerate soil? And how about the terpene? Is there any loss of the terpene factor with indoor Certainly. Cultivation?
Yes, absolutely. Terpenes are sticky. And, you know, if they can make it through the system out into the atmosphere, through the various charcoal filters and such,
right,
that people use,
yeah, the very scent that people are trying to filter from going outside are the terpenes.
Right. So, but the more importantly, what's really, people need to understand that prohibition tweaked the contemporary cannabis culture badly. It drove the price of Sensimilla up through the ceiling. And I mean, I was more than happy about the $4,000 pounds back when I was in the business. But
let me tell you, I had a lot of teeth fixed based on that market model.
yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, it was abundance. You know, you go up into the Trinities in the heyday of the Emerald Triangle, and you know, beautiful health food store, and you know, everybody was driving nice cars and nice trucks mostly, but you know, it was a prosperous community model, and the unfortunate thing is now we need to grow cannabis to produce seed. And so that means a lot of pollen in the air and a lot of unhappy Sensimilla farmers who haven't figured out how to shield their plants. And so, you know, that's a process that we need to overcome and recognize that, you know, that model of production doesn't serve, you know, future generations.
Right.
And it also, you know, opens the door for the cartels to come in and have these, huge plantations, because, you know, cartels are not going to grow anywhere where somebody's growing, you know, industrial hemp. It just, you know, seeded bud goes for a lot less on the market, as we all know. And so the best thing that could happen for the Sensimilla growers is if they can figure out how to grow Sensimilla right next to a hemp field, because it can be done. But people need to understand that we need to grow hemp to produce seed and energy.
Paul, we're running out of time. I want a few more quick questions to try to squeeze in, because we really only have about a minute and a half to talk. What are your thoughts on the potential for biodegradable hemp-derived plastics in terms of replacing or reducing petrochemical-based plastics, which we know is another catastrophe?
Well, that's all part of the complex that can include the production of energy and the food production models that can be centralized into a complex that has many income streams from the same harvest. And so the biodegradable plastics and the other durable goods that can be made from hemp can be very efficiently produced. And the scale of production is determined by the urgency to heal the atmosphere. So the abundance of industrial feedstock will drive the prices of all these things way down, along with the efficiency of production. So it's a, you know, it's a win-win for everybody, and the consumer especially, because, you know, you think about all the steps involved in producing plastic, right. You know, as opposed to just growing it right, you know, down the road at the local hemp farm.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious.
Well, Paul, this is just, you know, this is like, well, this might be the most important conversation taking place in America right at this moment. Seriously, right? I mean, who else is talking about this right now? This is a potential avenue to save the planet with an abundant, natural, renewable, regenerative resource. Thank you so much for your time. I really actually want to have you back, because I think there's so much more that we could talk about this. So would you be open to coming back on the show and continuing this conversation soon?
Yes, of course, Vivian. I always appreciate talking with you and sharing, you know, what I have to offer to the mix. You know, it takes all of us to do this. And I just really want to say thank you to you for your lifelong dedication to this as well. You know, I mean, you've been in the trenches more than most.
All right. Well, Paul Von Hartmann, thank you for being on the show today. Happy trails, my brother.
Happy trails to you too, bro.
That concludes this installment of Hempresent on Cannabis Radio. The Hempresent intro music is 7 Mile Beach from Joanne Rand, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant from Sticker Bush. See you next week. Stay strong.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.